Tonight we will look at the Holy Spirit in love and purity and faith. First, the Holy Spirit is a person. Remember, God the Father is a person. Jesus is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Hebrew name for God in the Old Testament is Elohim. Elohim is a plural name, comes from a word which means to swear or make a covenant. And so the Father made a covenant with the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit to bring forward life, everything that is promised in the Bible is therefore from Elohim. A covenant Father who covenanted with the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, as we said last time, is a kind of transformer. We couldn't receive all of the power and life of God. We would be blown apart. But the Holy Spirit transforms that life and light and power of God down to us. And so we begin tonight with the Holy Spirit is perfect love. The Holy Spirit is perfect love, and He wants to give perfect love to you. Now, Travis mentioned being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It doesn't really make too much difference. You do need to understand what the Bible promises. It is a definite promise, and it is a definite work. But it no one can explain. Travis couldn't explain. I couldn't explain what happened to me in 1966 when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. But I've never been the same since. And God wants to release more and more, because Holy Spirit, when you get baptized in the Spirit, you've just begun. You have entered from the outer court of the temple into the inner court of the temple, but you haven't yet come into the Holy of Holies. If you want to use the temple analogy, I won't try to draw that out tonight. But when you move into the baptizing power of the Holy Spirit, you're moving into a closer place. I used to puzzle because the Holy Spirit was working, and I noticed in Travis' life the Holy Spirit was working, and I've noticed in other people's life the Holy Spirit works when we're saved, because the Holy Spirit comes then. But the Holy Spirit will baptize us and fill us and anoint us. But one of the most important, probably the most important work that He does is that He gives us His perfect love. Look at 1 John chapter 4. He gives us His perfect love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. Now, for love, this is agape in the Greek. Agape. Love. Agape love is God's love. It's eternal love. It has no beginning. It has no end. It is solely the possession of the Father and His Son and the Holy Spirit. It is totally heavenly. It has nothing to do with human love. Human love cannot be compared to agape love, because human love is generated from us. It's earthly. And it is not eternal. It's good. It's good. God does want us to use human love, but He wants us to recognize that human love will never last. Only God's eternal love. Let us love one another, for love is from God. In other words, agape love of God is from the Father and from the Son and from the Holy Spirit. And everyone who loves, agapeo, the verb, in other words, we by faith receive and by faith release. We receive, by faith, the agape love of God that the Holy Spirit sends, and then by faith, we agapeo. We love, but it's His love that flows through us. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In other words, and by the way, if you look at what a Christian is, the definition in John, and John is full of K-N-O-W. No, 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 no. And the knowing here is not an intellectual knowledge. That's why we can't be saved intellectually. That's why the ideas that we have in our mind, even if it's correct ideas, yeah, we need the correct, we need the truth, that's true. We need the truth. We need to know that Jesus did die. He was raised from the grave. He did go to the right hand of the Father. He did send the Holy Spirit on the earth. He is coming back again. I mean, everything that the Bible says about him is true. We need to believe that. It must be based on truth. But even to know all that truth in my mind, it does not save me, nor does it allow the power or the love of God to flow through me to touch other people. To know him is to receive by faith the love that the Father expressed to the Son and to the Holy Spirit and expressed when he took the dust of the ground and breathed on it. And man became a living soul made in the image of God, so that God loved us so much that he created human beings as the only part of the creation that were a part of his love act, a part of his great love. He had a passion to create some part of his creation that could know him. And this means could be a part of his love and receive his love and let his love flow through them to touch other people. This is the only way we really know him, when we know the life and light and love of God the Father, God the Son, given to us by the Holy Spirit, as we receive the Holy Spirit first when we're born again, but as we are baptized in the Spirit, and then his love flows and flows and overflows, and over the overflow, we are to live our Christian lives out of the overflow of his love. Because love is the key. And I do not know God, and you do not know God. In fact, that's the test, really. I wonder how many people are really saved. I'm not a judge. I will never judge. If you tell me you're saved, praise God. I believe you're saved. But only God and you know. And there are going to be a lot of surprises in heaven. And we must know that God is love and receive that love by faith, and the Holy Spirit brings it. Verse 9, By this, the love of God, the agape of God, was manifested in that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Some of those worship songs we sang tonight, I was weeping because I can't sing songs anymore about Jesus and how he loves us and how I love him without weeping. Because the Holy Spirit has filled me with his love and joy, and I experienced that love. And when you experience that love and you know that love, it causes your emotional man or woman to be overwhelmed. It's not that you're trying to stir up emotions, the Holy Spirit will touch your emotions. And he wants to overwhelm us. That's really, when we're baptized in the Spirit, it's like getting overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit. Just waves and waves of the love of God. In this is love, and here's the key definition. Verse 10, in this is love, not that we love God. Agape love never originates from you and I. Human love originates from you and I. And if my love for God and my love for someone else is the key to my love for you, you're in trouble. Because my love for God that's initiated in my humanness will always fail at some point. And your human love in you will always fail at some point. Even if it's human love for God or human love for another human being. Because when you do something to me that I don't like, there's something that happens humanly in me. And I react. But in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. His love is eternal. It has no beginning. It has no end. It just keeps coming, and the Holy Spirit just keeps bringing and bringing and bringing and bringing more and more. And the more that, listen, here's the key to it. The more you receive, this is the vertical part of the cross, the more you receive and the more you love him as you pray, as you act on the word, the best way you don't love him unless you obey him. This is the key to loving God. As that love pours down on you and the Holy Spirit makes you realize all that Jesus has accomplished, it's overwhelming what Jesus has accomplished for us. If we could ever receive it in our spirit, our mind cannot receive it. I mean, the knowledge that he has done is only revealed by the Holy Spirit in my spirit. But when the Holy Spirit in my spirit reveals it, I must respond and say, yes, Lord, I will obey. I will praise you. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. And this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Yes, sir, Lord, I will rejoice and praise you in all things. And every command that he gives, if I obey, then I love him. But, the other key is, there's a horizontal part to the cross. And so as the Holy Spirit, here's the vertical part of the cross, and so as God's agape love is poured down through Christ and Christ's sacrifice, I mean, he was perfect love and agape love is cross love. It's always cross love. It's always where we come to the end of ourselves and we realize we can't love. I mean, the best thing we can do is love, but even the best thing we do, we have to die to. I'll show you this in a minute in the scripture. Even the best thing we can do for God, we've got to die to, let alone the worst thing, the negative thing. We've got to die to the negative. Of course, we understand that, but we've got to die to those things that we think we could do for God. There's something in us that part of it's out of a good thing. Because when I get saved and filled with the Spirit, I want to go do something for God. I want to go do something. I want to go do something. But see, he doesn't want us to go do something. He wants us to obey, believe, and let him do it through us as we receive the gift. It's all a gift. We can't believe it. It can't be. It's too good. How can it be? All of it's a gift. Everything he wants me to do on the earth. Eternal works of God. Silver and gold. Fire tests. And there. But wood, hay, and stubble, the things we do in our own strength, burned up. And we can't get it. Well, humanly, the humanness in us wants to do something. And we have to come to the place where we understand we can't do anything but obey and receive. And so we let that love, and yes, we do love him as we obey, but we let it flow out. We let it flow out. We receive and we let it flow out. We receive and we let it flow out. If God so loved us, we ought to love one another. If he agapeos us, and he does, and we receive it, then I need to love. And I need especially to love my enemy. And I need especially to love the person who persecutes me and reviles me and says all manner of evil against me falsely. I'm to rejoice and leap for joy, for so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. And what is overwhelming in the Chinese church, to a pastor, when you ask them, they say, don't pray that persecution will end. If persecution ends, we might not be faithful to receive. We might not be faithful to believe. We might not come to the end of ourselves and take the cross if there's not persecution. So don't pray that persecution will end. And see, we're far, 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 far. I mean, God wants us to come to the place where, as Paul said in Philippians, I want to come opposite his sufferings. Not only his resurrection, I want to come opposite his suffering. Because the power of the Holy Spirit is released as we come to the end of ourselves and we realize we can't even love. This is the definition. This is the definition of perfect love that the Holy Spirit gives. But, and I'm not going to read all this, I'm going to summarize some of it. I've talked about this chapter before. It's a very important chapter. Because Jesus is instructing his disciples. And remember his disciples. He had to tell them in Acts 1. John baptized you in water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And before they were baptized in the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, they said they would not deny Jesus, but they did. They were weak. They were not anointed by the Holy Spirit of God for service. The Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit doesn't get you into heaven in the sense, when you're a Christian, you get into heaven. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit causes you to be able to receive the Holy Spirit's anointing so that you can love, so you can have faith, so you can, so that you can be a disciple, so that you can be purified. Because you, unless you receive these things as a gift from the Holy Spirit who brings them, then you're not going to be able to truly minister through the power of the Spirit of God. So Matthew 10. Now, in the beginning, and I'm not going to read because I want to, I'll just quote a couple places and give you a summary, and then I'll start reading towards the end of the chapter. Jesus is calling his 12 disciples together. And he gives them authority over unclean spirits, over demon powers. And by the way, I realized in China, as I gave my testimony about that 2 weeks ago, that even physical healing, many times physical healing is not going to be released until you see and take authority to break bondages in people's lives. Because spiritual bondages will prevent physical healing. Spiritual bondages will prevent physical healing. And there is an integral relationship between the spirit and the mind and the body. Unless you understand that, you can't minister. And see, our whole Western culture wars against the concept that there is unity between the spirit, soul, and body. In fact, we don't even teach the difference between the spirit and the soul. Here. And if we don't understand, because we have our experts in our doctors for medicine, our psychiatrists for the mind, and our preachers for the spirit. But see, Jesus and his disciples ministered on the anointing of the spirit, and guess what? The Holy Spirit's the best for the mind. The Holy Spirit's the best for the spirit. The Holy Spirit's the best for the body. The Holy Spirit knows about more about the body than a doctor. The best doctor in the world, you can name him. The Holy Spirit knows more about the body. The best psychiatrist in the world, the Holy Spirit knows more about the mind. And then, of course, in the spirit. The Holy Spirit knows most about the spirit. So he sends them out to heal every kind of sickness and every kind of disease. I've mentioned to you several times in this teaching over the years that verses 7 and 8 of Matthew 10 came to me, and I realized, hey, Bob, this is not what you're doing. And the Holy Spirit says you're supposed to. Oh, that's not what I've been, that's not what I've heard. But that's what the scripture says. As you go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely receive, freely give. Now guess what? You can't carry out the love commandment unless you carry out that commandment. Fully. Because the person who is dying and sick and needs to be healed needs to receive Jesus, and he wants you to be a channel. James says that any sick among you, call for the elders of the church. Let him call for the elders of the church. Anoint with oil. Prayer the prayer of sick. Prayer of faith will raise up the sick. If he committed any sins, they would be forgiven him. It is a command. And this is the way we carry out the love commandment. In fact, this first part, really, when he says cast out demons and heal every kind of disease and sickness in the first part of that, see, this is, you can't carry that out unless the gifts of the Holy Spirit are operating. Well, you can't, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not going to be operating unless you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And after you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you've got to walk in faith, or the gifts of the Spirit are not going to be moving. And you say, I can't do that. That's right. But Jesus can. But will you believe it? Me? Well, I've never done that. That doesn't make any difference. That's the first time. That's how I learned. I didn't learn it in my church. I learned it by reading the Word and acting on the Word. Here. And other places. And that's how you'll learn it. You've got to start acting. It was when I first came here in the early 70s, when I first started acting on the Word of God and seeing people healed and seeing people delivered. But see, this is how you carry out the love commandment. Without the gifts of the Spirit, you are not going to be able to carry out the love commandment, because the way you love a person in bondage to death and fear of death or depression or whatever it may be is you see them set free. This is how you love them. You don't pat them on the back and say, I'm sorry, I'll pray. and then pray a prayer if it's your will and walk away. Or try to get some expert to come in to, that's what I did when I first got, I called someone because my aunt was, tried to commit suicide and tried to call an expert in, and he said, well, why don't you go pray? I don't have time to come, I'm too busy. And so, I finally did, and guess what? God set her free. Now, when you do this, and when the Holy Spirit, that perfect love is in you, see, it's love that impels you. I mean, Jesus had compassion on them. If you have the compassion of Christ in you, you are going to be led by the Holy Spirit of God to pray for people, even if you never have. I mean, it's the only reason I ever started praying for people is because the compassion of, I mean, Jesus gave me His love and His compassion. Compassion is suffering along with people. And you have such a passion and compassion that you are going to pray. And this is, if you don't pray, you don't have the passion or the compassion that you need. Pray for it so that the anointing of the Spirit of God, and by the way, He'll bring faith too. I'm not sure we're going to get to faith. Because these first two, perfect love and purity, I may not be able to get to faith, but I'll get to it next time if we don't get to it this time. But I mean, faith is a gift. I used to, you know, in the early charismatic renewal, a lot of the teachers would say, well, just have faith. Just take the word of God. No one else wants to believe it. I'm going to believe it. And when I believe it, God's going to move. And I'm going to have faith. Wrong emphasis. Wrong emphasis. Faith is a gift. You receive, and the Holy Spirit brings faith to you based on the Word. But the Word's made alive by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit makes it alive. So, now, when you start doing this, what's going to happen? I'll summarize verses 16 through 24. What you're going to have is opposition. What you're going to have is opposition. When you move to receive the love of the Holy Spirit of God, and you move especially into the supernatural gifts, which you need to carry out the love commandment. I didn't used to teach this. But this is what the Holy Spirit says. This is what the Word says. You need the gifts, the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit to carry out the love commandment. How can you heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out demons if you don't have the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ flowing through that love? You could have three centers of opposition. First, the church. Remember, the church is first. The church leaders crucified Jesus. The church will be the first center of opposition, the organized church. The organized church will lead the persecution against genuine Spirit-filled believers and think they are doing the work of God. And most of them will become apostate or have become apostate. Because the apostasies, Paul says, will come before Jesus comes. A great falling away. Church leaders will oppose you. Second, the government will oppose you. So far, the American government, we've had a blessing in America. We haven't had much opposition from the government, but it's growing. It's growing. I assigned to my Western Civ class a book called Persecution by David Limbaugh. This is a brother of Rush. And that book is an excellent book. If you haven't read it, you need to read it. Because already in America, there is great persecution of Christians. He has example after example after example after example. But it's going to be much greater. It's going to be much greater. And possibly, I haven't gotten there, but God, maybe through the Holy Spirit, will get me there while I'll pray for persecution, like our brothers in China. So that we will allow God to get us cut off from the world and the world's standards. I am not cut off yet. I want God to cut me off, but I am not cut off yet. And I believe if I want God to cut me off, He will. So the government will be a center of opposition, and the family will be the third center of opposition. You read it. I don't have time to read through it. But it's in verses 16 through 24. Then, Jesus warns them. These are all Jesus, but this is all red in my Bible. It's all Jesus' words. Then Jesus says, don't fear. Three specific things He says, do not fear. Now remember, I'm going to read it here in a minute, the full text of it. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. And without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, God's love in your heart, received first as you're baptized in the Spirit and walking in that love day by day, you are going to fear. And there he warns you of about three places where you will be attacked. Three centers of opposition, church, government, family. Three centers of fear. One, don't fear the unknown, or don't fear religious leaders. Religious leaders will come against you. Don't fear them. Don't fear the unknown, because many things are going to happen. You will not know everything that's going to happen. God will allow you to know what you need to know. If you knew everything that was coming, it wouldn't be good for you. It wouldn't be good for me. He'll let us know what we need to know. And it's good. It's good. He'll let us know what we need to know. Don't fear the unknown. You know everything that you need to know. Jesus is coming. The kingdom is going to be established. There's going to come a great revival. Yeah, there's going to be opposition. But all you need to know is Jesus has won the victory, and in Him you will be victorious, and you will overcome, and you will be an overcomer. That's all you need to know. I mean, He's told you what you need to know. And He doesn't want you to know too much. He doesn't want you to, if we knew everything that was going to happen, our faith would be interfered with, because we would look at that. Oh, I don't know what I can get through that. Oh, I don't know what I can get through that. See, when it comes and you're prepared in Christ, why, God will bring you. See, I've heard people say, I don't know whether I could put up with what the Christians did in Russia or China, and all that persecution. And I was with Pastor Moses. He was imprisoned by the communists for 23 years the first time. And he was in prison three other times. And he told us about how they tortured him. And he told us how he actually tried to put his finger in an open light socket to commit suicide. Because he said, I couldn't take it. He would bend over and they would go through accusation meetings. And he'd have most of the morning in accusation, and they'd have a whole group. Then they'd have another group come in the afternoon and they accuse him. And then they'd have another group at night, and maybe they'd give him 2 or 3 hours sleep between 3 o'clock and 5 or 6 o'clock. Then they'd get up the next day in accusations. And then he'd be bent over, and he'd be hit in the back, and he'd be hit in the knees, and he'd be hit in the ankles. He told us all this. And he said, I wanted to go to be with Jesus. And then he had to ask forgiveness, and he was so ashamed of himself, that he had wanted to try, to commit suicide. But see, don't fear the unknown. Don't fear religious leaders. 2, verse 28. Don't fear death. Don't fear death. Don't fear death. The worst Satan can do is physical death. Fear the second death. Fear the second death. The second death is, as you know, where hell, Satan is cast into hell, and hell cast into the lake of fire forever. That's the second death. That's the only thing you need to fear. That's the only thing you need to fear. If you fear God, you'll fear the second death. But that's all. Physical death, nothing. Nothing. When you take the communion, God showed me one time. He said in 1 Corinthians 11, discern the body. Be sure to discern the body of Christ. And when you discern the body of Christ, you realize that when you take the communion, the elements, you're taking His blood and His body by faith. Not physically, but by faith, you're taking His blood and His body. And you are proclaiming the death of death. This is the way the Lord put it to me. You are proclaiming the death of death. So if death has died, what do you got? Why are you afraid? Jesus has defeated physical death. Because you go from life to life. Eternal life, eternal life. And 3, verse 32, don't fear public confession of Christ. Don't fear public confession of Christ. And we don't have any reason in America, but we still are fearful of embarrassing ourselves, of confessing Christ publicly. Acts 1:8 says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Martyrs in the Greek, you will speak what you have experienced.
God will give you what to say before the government, before the council. He'll give you what to say under the anointing of the Spirit of God. 1 John 4:16. 1 John 4:16. A little later in the chapter from where we read before. And we have come to know, there is no again, and have believed the love, that's the agape, the eternal love of God which the Holy Spirit brings, which God has for us. God is love. He is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected, completed. In other words, the agape love of God, when the Holy Spirit brings and he baptizes me in the Spirit and he writes that love in my heart, if I will abide and abide and abide, no matter what is done to me, I will by faith release his love and joy and peace. It's his eternal love and joy and peace. Then I abide. And I am perfected, completed. And I'm completed that I might have confidence. That a confidence is an absence of fear, speaking boldly what the Word of God declares. Because what the Word of God declares is truer than my actual circumstances. Because what the Word of God declares is eternally true, and my circumstances are temporary. And my feelings are temporary. I will have an absence of fear in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. Hallelujah. As he is, so are we in the world. I mean, do we really believe? I mean, the Bible is full of incredible statements. And we pass them over. Oh, yeah, well, that's nice. I mean, I'll read it again. Because as he is, As Jesus is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, because he who fears is not perfected in love. Now, what's the fruit part? We've looked at the love that the Holy Spirit gives, that we receive as we're baptized in the Spirit. And then we seek the gifts of the Spirit, and then the power of God flows, and people are healed, and people are delivered, and God moves, and people are saved, and people are filled with the Spirit. But what about the character of Christ, the fruit? It's not fruits, it's fruit, singular. Well, Galatians 5 talks about the fruit. Galatians 5, verse 13 talks about the fruit. And Jesus is speaking, and Paul here is speaking verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only don't turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. You know what freedom is? I'll tell you what freedom really is. If you are free to every minute of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year, release love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. You are free. You are free. Perfect love released in you by faith. Did you receive the Holy Spirit? Did you believe? The Holy Spirit puts his perfect love in you. He writes the law of love in your heart. Then you, by faith, can release it. Day by day, hour by hour. For the whole law, verse 14, is fulfilled In one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by one another. I say, walk by the Spirit. See, Paul says as before in Galatians, if you're in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. How did you receive the Spirit, Paul says earlier in the book? By faith. How do you think you're going to walk in the Spirit? By faith. That the Holy Spirit gives. And the Holy Spirit gives you the love, and it's there. And you can release that love by faith. Everything is released by faith. But if you don't walk in love, perfect love, the fruit, this is the fruit. This is love, joy, peace, and all of that. If you don't, the flesh, if you walk in the flesh, then you will be against the Spirit. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. See, the law of God, in Galatians, it indicates later, the law of God, the Ten Commandments, are a curse on you if you do not receive by faith the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit can cause you to fulfill all the Ten Commandments. Because only by faith, through the work of the Holy Spirit and through His love, can you fulfill the Ten Commandments. So, if in any way you try to use the flesh to fulfill the commandments, you are under condemnation. And what happens when you are under condemnation? These are the deeds of the flesh. Immorality. Now, any immorality? I'm going through this list here. Immorality, what happens? You are separated from God. Impurity, you are separated from God. Sensuality, you are separated from God. Idolatry, you are separated from God. Sorcery, you are separated from God. Enmities, separated from God. Strife, you are separated from God. Jealousy, you are separated from God. Outbursts of anger, you are separated from God. Disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, things like these, which I forewarn you. I warned you, those who practice such things, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. So, all of that list is people not led by the Spirit of God. The love of God, given by the Spirit. And I believe by faith and follow those things by faith. When I am separated, if this happens occasionally and I repent, I am not totally separated. But if I practice these things, I am totally cut off, and I will not inherit the kingdom of God. Then the fruit of the Spirit I've mentioned is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, meekness, faithfulness, self-control. And when I practice love by faith, the Holy Spirit's love, and release it by faith, especially to that ornery person who rubs me the wrong way, or has mistreated me, I'm abiding in God. And joy. God loves it when you praise Him and are joyful, when circumstances are bad. And the worse the circumstances, the more you need to praise Him. I got through walking out my healing from cancer by praise, more than any other one thing. Oh, once in a while I'd get angry. Once in a while, I'd get frustrated. Once in a while, I'd stamp around like a child. God, if you're not going to do this, I don't know, I'd rather go into heaven. You know. Oh, then I'd, for God the Father, forgive me. Oh, I praise you, I worship you, and then I'd pray in tongues and walk around this room a lot and ask God for to speak to me. But love, joy, peace, patience. It's His love, it's His joy, it's His peace, it's His patience, the eternal. Now, one last place on love, 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, tells us something about this what I've just read in Galatians 5:22. Because when you look at Galatians 5:22, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, meekness, faithfulness, self-control, that's how love is defined. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. Love is patience. There's patience. Love is kind. There's kindness. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag. Is not arrogant. There's meekness. Love does not act unbecomingly. There's gentleness. It does not seek its own. There's the self-control. It is not provoked and doesn't take account of wrong suffered. Notice, doesn't take account of wrong suffered. Doesn't take account. Don't write it down. Don't remember it. That's goodness. That's goodness. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, rejoices in the truth. That's joy. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes of all things. That's faithfulness. Love never fails. But there's prophecy that they were done away with. And all of the tongues they will be done away with, and all the gifts will be done away with. But perfect love continues. And so God wants us to walk in perfect love. Now, I'm going to it would take me another 45-50 minutes to finish on purity. And I don't think that's what God wants me to do. But I, you know, tonight, I really believe that God wants us to understand that Jesus has loved us with a love that we cannot possibly understand, except as we receive Jesus by faith and the Holy Spirit causes us to be born again. And then we receive the baptizing power of the Holy Spirit, and God writes that love in my heart. And when you go through the Ten Commandments, that's the way He loves you. One time I taught a series on one at a time, how each commandment was a fulfilling of the love commandment. And so God's love is commanded. You don't command an emotion. You don't command an emotion. You command what God wrote, because when He made us, He knew that if we would follow the Ten Commandments, that we would remain eternally with Him. But Adam and Eve disobeyed. And so, as Adam and Eve disobeyed, then we were born into that disobedience. And God wants us to come to the place where we are overwhelmed with His love. God loves us in a way that none of us can understand. But if you have been saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit, then you know. You begin to understand the kind of love that Jesus has for us. But remember, if you're going to seek the Holy Spirit to bring you His love, you need to seek the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because word of knowledge, word of wisdom, word of prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, discerning of spirits, miracles, healings, supernatural faith are 9 supernatural gifts. The other gifts are we receive as we're a part of when we're born. We have a gift of teaching, or we have a gift of administration, or we have other gifts. But the supernatural gifts are given so that you can do what the disciples did and what Jesus did. Because Jesus never ministered except as a man. And He ministered only after He was baptized in the Holy Spirit. But the only difference between Jesus and any other man is He always, always willed the will of the Father. And He always heard. Now that's another thing. We need to hear from God.
I'll be talking about Jesus, the Holy Spirit, as a teacher, and I'll be talking about the Holy Spirit speaks to us. If I only do one at a time, it's going to take us all year. But if it takes us all year, I didn't want to hurry with this next section. But again, then we need to seek so that after we're baptized in the Spirit, we seek the gifts of the Holy Spirit. See, this is the greatest weakness at Asbury. There are many strengths at Asbury, but we're usually warned against seeking supernatural things. But we are supposed to seek supernatural love. And you cannot carry out the love commandment. There is no way. I could not have ministered in China without the Lord speaking words of knowledge, words of wisdom, words of prophecy. I mean, I couldn't. Because he was constantly speaking. And I was telling Shelley, one of the reasons I've never written a book in regard to deliverance and spiritual warfare is because so many times you have, well, here's a book that tells you, well, now you do it this way, and these are the four steps that you pray for deliverance, so let's say from depression. But see, the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you so that if you're praying with five people who are depressed, then the Holy Spirit will show you about this one, and this one, and this one, and this one, and this one. Because they won't be identical. And there won't be identical causes. And if you're not hearing from the Spirit of God, and of course, you must learn how to pray, but you must be seeking the supernatural gifts. Then you must be moving in the fruit of the Spirit. I think, quite frankly, that the greater Wesley thought this, and I think that's true, that the greater proof of someone being baptized in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, was the character of Christ. It is perfect love. And as I read, 1 Corinthians defines perfect love by naming every single one of the nine fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, meekness, faithfulness, self-control. Notice self-control, control of the self-life. And this is, see, I've heard many testimonies of in Wilmore about people being entirely sanctified, filled with perfect love, but you don't see it in their lives. If it's real, this is what you're going to see and experience from someone. Not just a testimony of what happened to me. Praise God if something happened to you, but you've got to abide and remain in that perfect love so that, and listen, the power of God is going to be released much more supernaturally in the gifts when we are abiding in the fruit of the Spirit of God. And they go together. And I regret very much that there's been a tension between the holiness people and the charismatic and Pentecostal. And they're all problems. We all have weaknesses. We all have imperfect understandings. But if we will seek, God knows the heart. And if we will seek the supernatural gifts so that you can carry out the love commandment and seek to walk continually in the fruit of His Holy Spirit. Father, we thank You and praise You and worship You. We glorify and magnify Your holy name and thank You for all that You have given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And be with us now as we pray in Jesus' name.